I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening.
That was a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have you been like eating well?
Eating well, sleeping
like
well.
Vegetables?
Clean living.
Yep. Taking care of myself, man. Trying to gram of protein per body. Desired body weight, you know?
So. Per body.
I saw you eat collard greens 3 days ago. Can't confirm.
I did. I've been eating good.
How's the skincare routine?
Non-existent.
Exasperatingly non-existent. Because let me tell you, this dude has no pores, and it's infuriating. I've never seen him wash his face.
Nope.
Yeah. I do wash my face. But
when?
When I'm in the shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's usually
in the quiet moments when no one is watching.
Yeah.
my face takes some collateral water damage while I'm standing there anyway.
You know what? Yeah, that's true, Jason. That's mostly true.
It's not a wash so much as a power wash.
You don't wear sunscreen.
It is a power wash.
You don't moisturize, and your face looks like this.
If it's good enough for the Tahoe, it's good enough for me. We both go through the car wash and come out shining. You just heard a cavalcade of voices. I'm going to try to sort them all out here. For you here on the internet's college only
shine.
College football podcast. Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and Michael Server joining us as always, but we do have a special guest today that we are going to get to without further delay because
Sonny has a squirrel toy now.
And Sonny, the dog, has a squeaky toy you may hear in the background. And that's important input as well. But not as important as our guest today. We do take requests from time to time, and we received a request from a loyal listener and
an urgent missive
asking to discuss something on the show. And because we thought it was pertinent to the preseason, where if we need to go ahead and bone up on things like X's and O's, we've decided to go ahead, grant that wish, and take advantage of some real expertise in the area of football strategy. Charles, a.k.a. Ugarless?
It's not meant to be pronounced, really. Going in a podcasty direction was a mistake.
Charles the Unpronounceable. Kneel before him.
It's essentially Prince's glyph. But it's Charles with Ugg at the beginning. So it's kind of a Ugarls or Ugarls.
Yes.
I don't care.
U-G-A-R-L-E-S.
You girls, get off that swing set.
That's the best possible way of remembering it.
Yeah.
On Twitter, if you want to follow him there, I believe it is also UGARLES.
Oh, there it is.
S at Blue Sky as well. I'm getting a call from Oxford, Mississippi, by the way. That can't be good.
Lane.
Put on
speaker.
No,
recruited.
I hope it's Lane, and he just says dick pic, and you're like, that's not how this works, Lane. That's not how you do this.
Yeah, but now you're thinking
What's
about
What's your
it.
Fax number?
Lane, when I said nudes, I meant people.
Yeah.
People's nudes. Not Charizard. That's disgusting.
Charizard's usually nude.
Or never.
Like this.
Mewtwo, how'd that thing hang?
Is Charizard wearing a Charizard suit, right?
I think that's possible. Yeah.
He's wearing a Charizard strap on, but it's a smaller Charizard.
Think so? Yeah.
We wanted to go ahead.
Horses on the rails.
We wanted to go ahead and bring Charles on to discuss a play a play that we saw illustrated as...
Because it's August.
Yeah, because it's August.
And we got to get down to X's and O's.
We got
to
bone up on things. Who would like to discuss the play first? Who shall we intro?
Can we drop this image in the chat real quick?
Editorial meeting.
Editorial meeting, right now.
I've seen it. Right, I've seen it, but I can't.
You seen this?
Hold on.
I've seen it, but I want to confirm that the defensive alignment is what I think it is.
Now I have to Google Twitter DeSantis. Thanks for this.
No, I have it open. I'll
searched DeSantis football and nothing appeared.
Thanks for.
I stopped at DeSantis foot, and I'm going outside now for a long time.
Thanks for.
Oh, he's got to have the weirdest feet.
Oh God, you're right. From being in those weird majorette boots.
Seeing
Wiki feet.
Ron DeSantis Wiki feet.
He does have a page. Let's take a look. Oh God, yeah, it's just a beach. It's just a beach photo.
You get exclusives if you donate 20 on a revolving monthly.
Subscribe to my Patreon for more Ron DeSantis foot peaks.
I'm not so much webbed as like just all stuck together like a doll.
The only photo on the Ron DeSantis Wiki feet, folks, I did the service for you free, courtesy of Shutdown Fullcast Enterprises, is just the one of him walking in his weird shorts on the beach.
Thank you, celebrity foot correspondent Jason Kirk.
What's your title now? All right, so
this play here, the Team DeSantis game plan. Yeah.
We will tweet this out with the episode as well. But
so this was a tweet.
This was a tweet. This
it's
the context in which, if I remember correctly, is basically Ron DeSantis not polling well. Is like, it's time for a reboot. It's time to...
He fired his campaign manager today.
Yes.
Yeah, well, for the second time in a week.
Fucked up bootleg.
Yeah. I just noticed something. Okay, when you enlarge this image, which I didn't do before because I was looking at it on my phone, it looks like it's been... I'm sure this is part of the graphic. I don't think they actually took a picture of a board, but you can see previously erased versions of the play behind it, like it's been erased multiple times on a whiteboard.
Oh, I like the realism.
Which means it's either they're dramatically emphasizing that, yes, this is the way forward, or somebody really thought about this, and this is what they put on there on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like this is evidence that, unfortunately, this fucked up play... is not the first draft.
No, it's so intentional. There were options, which is a football term.
I think it's cool that we noticed that. I think it's unlikely that we have to credit them with deep semiotics in this.
So this offensive formation, it appears to be the quarterback and pistol. And there's sort of a fucked up flex bone going on.
Yeah.
And or there are two H-backs. There are the correct number of players are on offense. We have that going for us.
Correct.
Yep.
And then everything.
And note the specificity.
There's a huge quarterback
players on offense.
The correct number of players are suited up to play offense. The incorrect number of players are on the offense's side of the ball pre-snap.
right. So before you even look at what this play is intended to be, this is what, 5 yards?
A defender is wildly offside, as offside as you can possibly be.
Two defenders are wildly offside.
One defender is wildly offside.
Yes.
There is
and
a cornerback.
Another defender who is moderately offside.
Yeah, there's a cornerback who is normal offside. And then there's another who is Tecmo Bowl offside. Actually, you couldn't even go offside in Tecmo Bowl.
And unless there is a safety so deep that he doesn't appear on this diagram.
Yeah, no, he's back for a quick kick.
Okay.
Okay.
There appear to be an insufficient number of defensive players, and two of them are doing something totally wrong.
Prepared for the wily Ron DeSantis.
No. There are three of them doing something totally wrong. I mean, look at this. We have one really offside. We have one kind of offside. We have one so far back he's off screen.
That's true.
Quick. Wait. And the fourth is they're in a 5-1 formation.
Yes.
Somehow. Yeah. And the one is lined up directly behind the end as if there's like a buddy system.
Yes.
And they're they're going on a class trip.
Yeah. Like this is kindergartners in Brooklyn.
He might be riding piggyback.
There's literally.
He could be piggyback on the defensive end.
They sketched in a leash between the linebacker and the defensive lineman.
Thank you to Craig Mosier, who commented that it's clear they'd run a 1-6 instead of the 5-2 that we're seeing here. The missing defender the missing defender brings up another question. It's unable, it renders us unable to determine whether this defensive alignment counts as a cover two. And the only reason I'm curious is the Tampanian origins.
Sure. Yeah.
Is Ron DeSantis sending secret signals, visual signals to the city of his home state that contains the most sex clubs per capita?
So you're suggesting it's possible one of these mid-level exes is Rondé Barber down in the box but is going to bail back out?
Maybe.
Okay.
That would be far from the weirdest thing that's happening here.
It's hard to, I mean, the cover two doesn't traditionally have five linemen, but I suppose you could run a version of it. Like, anyway, we're stealing
Charles's.
You know
what I realized? It really, the defense looks like the DJ Marshmallow.
It's true.
Oh, shit.
It's true. Again, an appeal to Tampa.
Yeah. All right.
I cannot see that now. He's so jaunty.
Charles, as our nation's chief political football mind, please explain this play.
Okay, so now the offense has, like you said, the quarterback is like flexing out right. He has a running back behind him. He has two people stacked to like the tight end who is playing actually inside the line, with another receiver stacked behind him. The tight end appears to be going out in coverage where he runs past the way offside corner, and the wide receiver behind him is getting blocked in the back by that running back. Just absolutely pancaked from behind, because they actually have it drawn that he is blocking left.
Mm-hmm. And that is the only person blocking is the
Yeah, the only blocking assignment. He's the only blocking assignment on the play, because there's also another wide receiver lined up like a tight end parallel to the other tight end inside the line. I don't think there are enough people. Are there enough people lined up on the line of scrimmage?
No. Receivers. No. They're too short.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are only five, and there are six who are behind the line in literally random places.
In like a
places.
Preschool soccer formation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the two tight ends are going into coverage. The only wide receiver in a wide, not into coverage, into a route. The only wide receiver in a wide receiver position is going into a route. And the quarterback is running into nothing but blind space.
The skill
There's
position,
nobody blocking the skill on the position side players, of the field where he's going.
The skill position players appear as though they showed up at a PTA meeting and the president was like, come on, move closer. And they were like, we'll come to the third row, but we're not sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
We're not going that
Someone
far.
Someone said to the skill players, like, we need volunteers. Stick around if you'd like to volunteer. And you can just see them all scattering. I like that the quarterback is running directly toward the two-man stack where the lone linebacker is holding hands with
running away from the potentially two
Those
or
blockers,
three people
yeah.
that are blocking. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's got three blockers to the other side. Yeah.
He's bootlegging to the weak side with no blockers and no one to catch a pass.
And speaking of blockers, directly in front of what appears to be at least a 300-pound running back. That one in the backfield is huge.
Yes. Right, it's drawn. That's the first time the O's are drawn to scale.
Is that not how it works?
Yeah. Also, I have two
like the planets.
I have two defensive notes. All of our linemen are head up. Every single one of them. You know, you could play gap sound defense and make sure that nobody's going to get through a hole that you have uncovered. However, if you're a real man, if you're not a bitch, line up head to head. Face every single one of them. Five sumo matches every single play.
Slap, 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 slap.
We have no tech one. We have no tech. Everyone is the black keys.
Yep.
Everyone just is the black keys. They're all head up. They're like zero technique right there. It's so awesome.
Like, you see that shit and you don't think, I should throw. What I should do is I should run toward the 3-on-2 blocking disadvantage.
That's right.
Well, to be fair, he's running away from the defender who started in the backfield at the snap. So maybe that
the quarterback
is
simply
choice.
Scared.
This is imagining that every offensive lineman is an eligible receiver who naturally is being covered by a nimble 310-pound man ready to follow him downfield on whatever route he might unfurl from his immense playbook. Also, shouts out to the corners. You know what? Most people use the sideline as a defender. We're going to defend the sideline. We're going to make sure the receiver can't possibly go out of bounds, even if they wanted to.
Looking like bumpers at a bowling alley.
They're keeping the receivers from going too far left, aren't they? Huh?
The whole play.
Not going to outflank us.
We'll get to entire plays that appear to be moving left in a minute.
Can I also, you know what? The more I look at it, the more what the quarterback is doing makes sense because there's no room to his left.
That's true.
He's hemmed in like they just castled the king and there's a row of pawns.
Behind him being a rook would make a lot more sense.
You've really invented some football shit if you have too many blockers.
Jim Harbaugh is interested in your
Jim Harbaugh is listening.
I really, really hate that media days are over because what I want to do is cross out the source and take this to a coach and ask him to critique it.
Oh. All right. So, Charles, here's my question. Put yourself in the quarterback's shoes. You get the ball. Per the play design, you immediately take 7 steps to your right. What do you think you're supposed to do next?
Well, now that I'm in the shoes, I know what I'm doing next, which is dropping a load directly in my shorts. Was it Clemson when they ran that fake field goal and the entire line hit him at once? That's me. I am Garo Yupremian if he wasn't athletic.
Okay.
So we're gaining a lot of yards.
Yeah. And so, but if I was an actual quarterback, I guess on this play, I'm bootlegging right. I have 2 people going out into coverage on that side, and I am just fucking heaving it before I'm crushed.
Yeah.
I am just heaving it and hoping for the best. And hoping that they only put 10 men on the field, because if there actually is a man deep, I am definitely getting enough air under this that someone could come out of the stands and pick it off.
The pass routes here on the right side are baffling because they are expressly designed to put the receivers as close together as possible.
Oh, yeah.
There is no...
Ryan, if you
there
have
is no,
two men-
like.
If you have 2 men in the same spot,
double the odds.
I believe that we are not allowed to have 2 men in the same spot under many emerging.
No. You can't. You just can't have a woman there. You have to have 2 men there in case a woman shows up to have a meeting. So you're not by yourself.
What kind of gay paradise is Ron DeSantis creating?
That is the Mike Pence playbook.
That's the Billy Graham game plan. Yeah. I love that when we send 2 guys on a go route, we have effectively guaranteed they're both double covered.
Yes.
I love it. Plus this mystery safety. Plus we have 2 safeties doing nothing. So.
But you know what?
I think, look, iron sharpens iron. And if you have to out-jump your own teammate for the ball, you know, it's like practicing rebounding against Rodman.
That's
right?
A great point. You run scout team, et cetera, but you can't really get reps against the opposing defense. You can get reps against another wideout on your roster, so why not get that practice?
How tall is Tim Scott? He doesn't seem tall. But that's
right.
Television.
Now it's time to not
Can
looking up
Tim
Scott,
Scott
height.
Tim Scott Wiki Feet?
No, this is a different one.
I'm going to do it here. You ready?
It's your turn. It's your
this
turn.
Is 5'11. Oh, no, that's American football. Okay.
Right. I think he's 6'1 really is what it says, which means he's probably 5'10. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing in his official biography about him being over 6 feet, so he's 5'10".
Okay. Tim Scott played
one game.
Let's go
easy on 5'10 here.
The other Tim Scott played one game
for
the New York Giants in 2017. So props to him. Giants went 3-13 that year. Anyway.
Another point here, it doesn't say the Team DeSantis playbook, or even more accurately, the Team DeSantis play. It says the game plan. A game plan.
They run only this
for
play.
Yeah.
Right. For like if this was composed by, you know, ball knowers, who quite evidently there is a lack of ball knowers on the DeSantis campaign, they would know that you have to prepare different plays for different situations. But Charles, as you note, evidently this is the play for every situation. This play
three,
fucking sucks.
It's just, you know, run it up the gut, man. This is
no yards and a cloud of dust. I love it.
If you got true superiority, just you run a lot it over of dust. And over again until you make them quit and make them stop it.
All right,
and nothing but dust.
And in this case, what's going to stop it is going to be the referees and your own teammates.
Okay, Timmy Williams up the gut against the Broncos.
What if we're reading this play wrong? What if the quarterback is not actually getting the snap at all, but he's running out to be a receiver, and our O in
Fellas,
the backfield?
Is it gay to run the wildcat?
So our they're snapping it to the one guy blocking.
Not him. Our O in the backfield who has
right?
no motion. Okay. So every okay, O in the backfield on the left, the one who's stacked lower.
Not the 300-pound running
the
back.
The one being blocked.
Correct. The
yeah.
one being
yeah,
blocked.
Yeah, so they snap it to the guy who immediately gets hit by the eye back.
What if he is, in fact, receiving the snap, and his job is to throw it to the quarterback, who is now a receiver, because those two go-route receivers have cleared out space, and the running back is going to take this to the fucking house while the offsides defense wonders what the fuck just happened?
I hope the running back gets this play because, you know, if this campaign has been about anything, it's against being woke. And you will be anything but awake if you are the quarterback on this play. you will be unwoke. You will be face down on the turf.
Fair enough. Ron,
so, Ryan, you're envisioning a hard
diagonal
snap.
Correct.
Like a parallel to the guard tackle gap. Like that.
Yeah,
is
like
that is a
snap into 7 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah.
That is correct. A real frisbee toss. Right. I don't know the golf term for that.
It's
angle
like a
of
fade.
Snap. But
I think it's
as
like
soon
a
as
fade.
He,
wait, is it a shank or a hook?
I'll take your word on it. You've been to golf more recently. As soon as he captures that snap, he is drilled by his teammate. The ball goes flying.
Yep.
And then at that point, the running back who has leveled his teammate, he has the ball. Is he the one to throw, or does he follow this H-back who's meandering past a defender?
The thing about the fumble, though, is that now anyone can pick it off.
Sure.
You've really expanded your
including
options.
Including you, citizen.
Yeah, well, that's the free market. That's the point. It's just up for who wants it more.
Maybe what
now,
this play is
here's
is
an
really...
interesting thought.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Team DeSantis... is the defense.
Oh. Whoa.
Well, like, first of all,
they still fucking suck.
They're man short.
Yeah, no,
which,
they're understaffed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't know where they're supposed to be.
The missing man is the campaign manager. The offsides is them leaving Florida.
Got people running
just,
right past
And they're
them.
Just really counting on the opponent to... trip themselves up with illegal bullshit such
the
that
opponent is
none of their mistakes
winning.
Will matter.
Right.
This is the stupidest plan I've ever seen, and it's got us flummoxed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So which is worse, the offense or the defense, excluding the fact that the defense only has 10 guys out there?
Like, I think
it's offsetting penalties.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's the offense because the offense is not even setting up correctly in a structural way. Whereas the defense, you could just be like, hey, go on sides. Like, just do that. Like, this is not even particularly easy in this formation to get enough guys on the line of scrimmage and make this a legal form. Like, that's the biggest challenge. So I think, like, the defense has more fixable problems here mm-hmm. okay. than the offense
yeah.
does.
Yeah, defense is winning me because, I don't know, man, you still got two safeties back. Still got two safeties
here's,
back.
Here's the other thing. Formation penalties are easy. Like, I feel like those get called easily. Sometimes you will get lucky and they're just not going to throw that offsides flag. And it's just like, oh, yeah, it's time to
I don't know about
donut.
This lucky. I mean, really pushing it. Like this guy looks like he's lining up to run a pattern.
Yes,
like
correct.
He's so far offsides that, you know, X is kind of a number, is a letter that you can just flip.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's a mirror
it's like
image
a
in every direction. He could just be running. He could be setting up for the offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's
he's closer
great
to
here.
Legal formation than either of the tight ends.
That's true.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
Exactly
even,
the argument
even
you should make
if
to the ref.
Both of these exes joined the offense, it would still not be legal formation.
Yeah, I think the defense has fewer problems, but yeah, this is. Well, that's the interesting part, is that ultimately Charles is right. This is offsetting penalties, and none of this matters. Which is in some ways
a
political.
That's the DeSantis campaign.
Yeah,
that's the game plan. He's hoping for offsetting penalties. Yeah. Like literally the entire DeSantis game plan.
Yeah,
the entire DeSantis game plan is that Donald Trump is in prison in November.
Sure.
Yeah, that's such an awesome game plan.
And then he's got to get Tim Scott on Wikifeet.
To be fair, that is also my game plan.
Charles, I know you have a lot of big law duties to attend to on this day, but can we break down one more play with you?
Absolutely.
Who would like to intro?
Spencer
who would
has
like
to do
this
one.
Next one.
I have to do this one? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, because you're from Tennessee. I know Holly is too, but that's not the point. Just do it.
She's from the free state of Waggles.
Thank you. You pronounced it
this
right.
This one is worse on offense.
Yeah.
I do
my
homework.
Better at math, worse at like everything else.
Yeah, this is the cover of Clay Travis's American Playbook, A Guide to Winning Back the Country.
American Playbook, stay away from me.
Like feral dogs don't rule 90% of this motherfucker.
That would have been
the Democrats are
subtitle.
In charge. Feral dogs are in charge.
Meanwhile, Ohio is like passing referendums that are like, only dudes named Todd can vote. But the Democrats are in charge, people. Yeah. Look out.
This is one of my favorite tropes. Like, are the libs ultra powerful, mm-hmm. or are they super wimps?
It's like what Jason has explained about Satan, basically.
Yeah.
No,
Satan
I'm
is so cool.
Fan.
He's very weak, but very strong.
He's so cool. He's going to lose. He's awesome.
Okay, so let's set up this.
I'm a big fan of how voting rights have evolved in this country. Uh-huh. You know, like it was for a while, it was like the South was considered presumptively racist. And then the North also got presumptively racist. And so based on that, the Supreme Court said, well, why do you hold it against the South?
Yeah.
And that is the current state of our
that's
voting
the state
rights
of the law.
Is
yeah.
that the North is too racist to hold the South to any standards.
To be fair, Alabama is pushing back on the old ways by ignoring a Supreme Court direction right now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Maybe we're going back to the old times. Spencer, I'm sorry, you were explaining this play.
Solve that shit in Montgomery.
The play. So again, we're going to include these in one form or another to make sure that people understand. But I'm going to try to describe what is happening here because it's even less clear than what is happening in the DeSantis game plan.
On
first
offense,
of all,
at least.
On offense, yeah. First of all, we have a jumbo formation because we've got this is a unbalanced or additional tackle formation on the line because it appears to be six linemen. I don't know, maybe one of them is a tight end, but there's six.
I think one is supposed to be a tight end.
Is
yeah,
there?
Look at
okay.
that. Look at that big one on the end. It's probably mm-hmm. him.
You think yep. so? Okay.
Or
so
is it the little skinny one on the right?
Could be tackle eligible.
Look
that,
at the
that's
tiny
possible.
Star.
A failed tackle eligible for reasons that we will explain. There are two in the backfield in what a offset formation. This is a balanced formation, so it would be hard to say like strong weak without knowing what the tight end is here. But I'm going to go ahead and guess it's to the weak side. So weak unbalanced to the right. And I'm sure because this is a conservative book that this is an under center formation, not a shotgun, right? Because that's commie mm-hmm. football. So under center with a back snug to the right. There is a wide receiver set back, who I believe that would be an illegal formation already, who is running a go route, but kind of a curve. This is akin to what Mike Martz, actually. So, you know, you're going to be like, this is my favorite thing, is when something really fucking dumb happens politically and somebody goes, actually, the galaxy brain thing that you didn't know is that this is actually a Mike Martz route that they used in the 99 Rams playbook, but they actually did kind of curve their routes a little bit. There's like a curvilinear go route that the receiver on the right side, the weak side of the formation, is running. On the other side, we've got a receiver lined up directly behind either the tackle eligible or the tight end, Hard to tell in this notation. Belichick, if you were padding this, would absolutely crucify you for being this sloppy. He would. Like, you wouldn't make it out of, like, consultant status with him. No paycheck. There's another curvilinear go route. It also appears that the back in the backfield is running towards the receiver to hit him. I don't, like, he's running directly at the receiver on the other side. And there is a wide receiver with no assignment. Just fucking loitering.
Just vibes, bro.
And because
this is the secret argument for a 4-day work week.
Yeah. And because graphic design is this person's passion, yeah. The quarterback is running to the left. Help, pell mell, helter skelter.
Towards the wide receiver who's doing nothing.
Presumably because he hasn't seen him in a long time and just wants to give him a big old smooch.
Yep.
Yep.
A big gay smooch, right?
Big, yeah, big, I've described. A big comment here is that these are not your traditional X's and O's.
Yes.
The you have X's lined up against the stars from the flag.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, which, by the way, that's how I know. That's American, how I know you're not.
So we know here the offense. The offense is America.
The blue buttholes are running an incomprehensible nonsense, whereas the defense here is lined up fine. Like, you can interpret this as a basic 2-high, 3-4. It's fine. The offense is the one that none of this works.
Same,
this will be flagged.
But same gap problems with the defense. Same,
that's not a problem.
Worse gap problems.
No, that's an attitude statement.
Okay, I apologize. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not a coward.
No, not worse.
That's gap. A problem. That's an. I think you mean an opportunity in disguise.
You're right. You're right.
No, this is a feast for the defense, right? Because you've got. Like, originally, it looks like you've got five lined up against five, right? Because the tight end, I'm just going to say tight end instead of waffling on this. The tight end on the left releases to block at the second level. And the right end also releases to block at the second level.
Yeah.
So now it's just 5-on-4. They're lined up straight up, which means the running back just has a clear run into the backfield.
They're sending tackles to block fucking cornerbacks.
Yes. And the running back who could stay into chip for that, let's say, outside linebacker, who now is unblocked, instead runs away for no purpose whatsoever.
You know what I just realized? Yeah. They're blocking the cornerbacks, so it's already super illegal. Like, these guys are releasing off the line to just knock the corner
down. Well, only if it's a pass play. If it is a run play, that would be my only possible argument, is that the tackle or the tight end on the left is releasing to block the cornerback because this is a designed, like, naked-ish bootleg.
Yeah, this is a draw. This is the world's first naked draw bootleg.
Unnecessarily sensual.
How far downfield do we think that tight end and that right tackle are headed? Because at a certain point, this will be an illegal throw if they're throwing.
Yes. Oh, they're definitely going too far. Because there's no way both of these corners, who are lined up with the wide receivers ostensibly to cover them, there's no way both of these corners are like crashing, double corner blitz. Like, that shit's just not happening.
So this is flagged, at the snap, for the illegal formation.
Yeah.
If it gets past that point, it is flagged for a throw downfield, or it's a run in which the quarterback is all alone against two unblocked linebackers, two unblocked safeties, and whoever else breaks through.
Metaphor.
Not alone.
And that's
not
how alone. We win back there the country from the Democrats.
There is the receiver who is like bumper.
There is that one guy standing there.
The one guy who's just standing there. Who? Like, you know, just like one of the shields from Missile Command.
The receiver who's doing nothing is also the person who's making this illegal, I think. If he would just step two steps up.
If he would
up,
take some personal responsibility and move his bootstraps.
Yeah. But he's on the left side of the formation. Again, that's just the left holding us back, gentlemen. Just get it together.
But that's, why is the quarterback, somewhere. Here's the biggest difference. In both of these plays, we see the quarterback immediately, the quarterback's not staying under center. Like, we got to go hard one direction. But Clay Travis would have you believe that the quarterback immediately goes as far left as possible. AOC is Clay Travis's quarterback.
Oh, captain, my captain.
All of these complaints about the formation and illegality and such, I think, are totally unfounded because, as we know from American foreign policy, the rules only apply to the other side.
Oh, yeah, to be clear, like, I think both Clay and Ron DeSantis believe that the offense will be able to claim qualified immunity under these circumstances and no flag will be thrown.
Yeah, that wide receiver has a gun. He's just there to make sure everybody behaves because an armed society is a polite society.
Oh, okay. Now I see.
That's why. I kind of dig this defense. I got to be honest. You said it.
The defense said it is
looked
fine.
Like, yeah, you said it looked like a standard 2-high, 3-4. Jason, I will interject that with the right personnel, that's an early Frank
4-6.
Yeah, that's an early Frank Beamer, Bud Foster 5-2-wide-9 formation. Oh.
I mean those edges, you can go big guys or medium guys, whichever you like.
Mm-hmm. I like the listen, man, but the right personnel. I think that's also, by the way, how I know this isn't true conservatism, because it's concerned with the offense. We all know the liberal side of the football is offense. That's the one where all of the brain geniuses trying to fix things, trying to mess with life and spread people out.
Trying to distribute the ball
equally.
So-called like progressives progressing the football down the field.
I definitely feel like if you're drawing this play as an offense, you're really not giving a ton of respect to the defense. Because, right, you have the tight end and two receivers on the left side. And your assumption is that the defense is just staying in the base. No one's going to go cover them. They're still going to be just 5-2-2 with the corners playing as tight as your tight ends want to be. And they're not going to adjust to you at all, which really gives you a lot of freedom. And what is more American than that?
It's beautiful, man.
Should be noted, Ron DeSantis is a baseball boy, so
yes,
you know, there is some argument to be made that, like, what should Ron DeSantis possibly know about football? He's a baseballer at heart. He did infamously hire a supreme dipshit Ohio State blogger to run like COVID data for him a couple of years ago, but I think even the darkest corners of Ohio State internet would recognize that these plays suck. Clay Travis purports to be a football person. I've seen him on television with his, well, not on television, but on the internet with his crates of lines and nobody else there. Like,
I've seen him in Bunky Perkins' screenshots allegedly on television. Speaking of Ohio State bloggers, I'm beginning to understand how 11 Warriors makes money every year just by fading Clay Travis's football bets.
So I
it's
have
just
to
wild.
Say,
he's like posting, you know, like a few hours ago, I just looked, this man posted this book cover.
Yes.
He signed off on this.
Right, right. And like Ron DeSantis' campaign is besieged by, oh God, what did we publish? To the point where you're like, if a clumsy and stupid football play made it through, that is actually the least problematic thing that the DeSantis campaign can publish in a given week.
21 players on the field and none of them was a swastika.
Right.
Because an X is like, so you know how tempting it is for a DeSantis staffer to draw an X and not throw a bunch of serifs.
Right, 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 right.
But do we have two little hammer and sickles framing in this American playbook here?
Ooh.
Hard to say.
Yeah, I'm seeing it on the on each side. Sort of socialist parentheses there.
All right. Yep. Congratulations, comrade.
But yeah, Jason's right. This is a book cover. Like, this is the first thing you're supposed to see about maybe it's fair.
This is what you're supposed to judge it on.
Yeah, that's right. That is how the saying goes.
That's how the saying goes. You, this is how you know.
This publisher has a shitload of money. They surely presented Clay Travis a half dozen options, and he surely said that one.
I feel bad saying this, but like, Guys, I think I'm not going to buy Clay Travis's book.
I'm beginning to think I'll just check it out at the library first.
It is, you know, it is bad to screw the cover up like this, because the entire point of the conservative book experience is that it's shelf dressing.
Right.
Like, you can literally have the inside hollowed out to hide your gun, and it serves the same reading purpose as a conservative book.
What self-respecting airport dad is going to buy this?
Yeah.
Why do you? I never
without,
got
like,
that. Why
without,
you want to
like taping a new play on the cover?
All right.
Oh
I will
God,
say
going through the airport and just retweeting all.
I want to make one exception. If Clay has cleverly made this some sort of dry erase cover that comes with a marker, this is the best marketing scheme I've ever seen.
We've fallen right into.
Speaking of right. things we've fallen right into, I just realized. Are we all not triggered?
Oh, yeah. I mean, owned. That's, yeah.
Have we all been triggered here?
Yeah.
This whole time, I've just been trying to cancel him.
Yeah. You know what? I've sent him several rent notices, but he won't pay, and he lives in my head.
You hate to see it.
It smells terrible in there, but he lives there all the same.
Dude, I never got why you'd want to buy one of these before you went on a plane. Like, why do you want to get all gassed up on, like, all this good, like, bigot fuel? Why do you want to do that when you have to sit down for 4 hours, you know?
It's so
like,
your body
you don't even
won't
know
poop.
Who's going to be next to you.
Mm. That's true. I think it's, you know what it is? I think it's a good way of signaling, I don't want to talk on this flight.
I got to read.
If someone opened up American Playbook next to me, I would not say a goddamn word.
It's a do not serve sign for the attendant staff.
You know what? I am going to buy this book. You know why? So I can do that on a flight. I look
if
like
somebody opens this shit next to me, I'd be like, oh, you like football, huh? Name five routes.
curve left, curve right.
Curve right, yeah. Run directly into wide receiver.
Spencer, man, I respect how dangerous that move is, because you bring this book on a plane and either the person next to you doesn't talk to you at all.
Oh no.
Or you are banging window to jump out at 30,000 feet. You are wrestling with a flight attendant on the emergency exit. Just give me that puffy slide, man. I will fall all the way.
Fellow Claviator, eh? Let me shake your hand, brother. We're going to be fast friends.
The final use of Clay Travis's book is as a makeshift parachute. As you open it up for some resistance on the way down.
Mm-hmm. At the inside cover, your last thought rushing through your head, why is this book signed Brian Van Goring?
Anybody who looks over this book and says, that's a good read. That's also the kind of guy who's going to be like, you and me, we're the Mark Wahlbergs of this flight. Any shit goes down, we're the offensive linemen. See, I do know football terms.
He's going to be in real trouble in a new era, too, Mark Wahlberg is, because I don't think he can even reach the little peephole in the cockpit door.
Oh, well, you're supposed to put your mask on before you put Mark Wahlberg's on for him.
That's right. Excuse me. Helping others over here.
I'm just going to be like, man, Art Goldfinger had some great ideas. Just getting sucked out of the plane.
Yes, my dream. Thank God.
Although I would do this, I would get it, and the guy next to me would be like, hell yeah, brother, I see you're reading a fine piece of literature. And he would say some crazy fucking thing, and I would try to goad him by saying something even crazier. And we get to the point where we're like, you know, yeah, other people should be food. Let's start the revolution now. Like, this is also how I find the air marshal on the flight. If I crack open, like, right? If I crack open that book and I hear a guy be like, yeah, man. But, like, that's the air marshal. Y'all, we found him.
This is a great episode for everybody who always wonders why we don't talk about football.
I hope
they're all enjoying this. Hour-long X's and O's breakdown.
It's okay. I'm going to tell everyone this is part two of the Alex Jones series on A-Lab.
I'd like to see his schematics. Let's see which Coach Jones can cook up on the whiteboard.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Always Sunny.
He just puts 13 dudes up there, and you're like, yep, there we go.
No, 14 dudes.
It's 14, it's 14 on offense, 88 on defense.
Yes.
Yeah. We found a way to have 12 on offense from the 12 tribes of Israel.
It's 14 guys. They're playing the piano.
And the 12th man for the opposition.
That's right, Satan.
If I knew Satan was playing for the other team, I'd be like, that's so cool. God, so
folks,
cool.
You can leave us a voicemail at 704-SOULCAST. That's SOLCAST. Mm-hmm. Hail to Ra, the sun god. Let it out.
Satan would go on
like
right?
It sounded like you were inviting Satan on the show.
I would love if Satan would come on the show. At least leave a voicemail.
If you're out there, holler.
Yeah. He could probably draw up a better offense.
I think we know that.
More
I think
enticing
we know that,
than this garbage.
I think we know that Satan would be.
Talk about. I mean, who? Look, who is better at tempting offsides?
Who's the best time? Mm-hmm. It's LSU. So yeah, Satan would definitely go to LSU because that's the best time, right? Mm-hmm. All the good vices. You'd have all of them.
Satan's walking back from the game like, God, a child chucked a bottle at me. It sucks.
That child that voice is fucked up.
Yeah,
I didn't know there were that many homosexual slurs in this language.
Got to tone it down.
I've won, but at what cost?
They say God's the one who won't come back in fear of his works. Buddy, that's me in Baton Rouge. I'm out. Is it time then to switch gears?
Should we let Charles go first?
I think we should let Charles go. Yeah. Yes.
Charles has a law meeting.
Charles has a real job. Charles is a real person.
Go do legal things. Thank you for helping us provide the people with
so
X's and O's knowledge that they need.
Thank you for your urgent missive. This really helped shape our show today.
Yes.
Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it. Have a good day, everyone.
See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.
As I almost hit leave on my Zoom. Like, yep, I'm out too.
All right. Y'all got this.
Yep. Hope you can finish it up.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
More fights!
We go now to an introductory note on the city of Montgomery, Alabama. There are many places in the southern United States that have their own degree of haunted. They have their own miasma of historical terror, legacy, and an overall vibe of deep unease. A couple of these. One, Charlotte, North Carolina. Famously creepy Charlotte, North Carolina. The first place everyone thinks of when they think of disturbing. Second, would be New Orleans, I think more naturally famous for this because, I don't know, y'all got a lot of swamp gas. It's weird. It's old.
Big tombs.
Big tombs. Big tombs above ground, right? There's a lot of that. And I think Charleston is probably the other one that's famously haunted.
Savannah.
Both for really ghoulish reasons once you start looking into them. Those are all notable candidates for most haunted city in the South.
Montgomery is the last place in America where I would want to fuck around.
Yeah. Who would do that?
But usually fucking around doesn't end quite so justly.
Spectacularly.
Cinematically.
Cinematically in terms of being filmed from at least 7 different major angles. That
have you guys
I
seen
find.
Russian Ark?
No.
Russian Ark is a movie that is a tour through Russian history that is famously all shot in one take.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's shot on a stage, and this is kind of what happened in Montgomery is kind of the opposite. of that, which is there are videos of this that I'm sure I still haven't seen. I watched the 7-minute long version of this video only to find out that it wasn't the full length because there were so many cameras recording from so many angles that you could almost, if you wanted to and had the tools, create an augmented reality reconstruction of what happened there. They should make a museum to it. They should make a little museum on the waterfront to fucking around in Montgomery. You know, duck your head and keep on driving, y'all.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever the opposite of a... Listen, just leave Montgomery be. It's cranky.
Prior to this, there was only one really... There's two notable things about Montgomery and the like laudable and positive categories. Ryan, you say that there's a place with really good lemon cake?
I don't remember the name of it, and I don't remember... And as a consequence, I have no idea if it's still open, but when I lived there in law school for, like, I don't know, 2.5 months... One of my roommates found a place, a chicken wing spot that had really good lemon cake, and you could buy bootleg DVDs there for cheap. So it was like...
God, that sounds perfect.
For us, it was sort of like the social mecca of Montgomery. It had everything you needed. Mm. Fuck Target.
I'd also like to note Montgomery has a very nice barbecue barn. I forget the name of it.
And I did enjoy the minor league baseball team there, the Montgomery Biscuits.
The Montgomery Biscuits,
which feature an anthropomorphic biscuit as the mascot, and as opposed to t-shirts, throw out Ziploc bags of chicken biscuits to the crowd as a promotional stunt, which was delightful.
You can buy Montgomery Biscuits merch online, and we encourage you to do so.
Yeah.
Instead of I don't know, hanging out in the water there and harassing the people who live there.
So, right. The one thing I want to put this is I don't, you have to have seen this. We'll just assume you have. A pontoon boat didn't want to move. It was full of people.
It made the Washington Post.
Yeah,
like, this has been so widely discussed at this point that
This, I don't think there's a condition in life that is less conducive to immediate combat readiness than getting off not just a boat that you've been on all day long, but a pontoon boat. It is the lowest form of athleticism, even for water-going vessels. It is a flat pan surface that you sit on. Somebody named Cindy has probably packed you a bunch of frosted cookies from Publix that they just had laying out on clearance.
All the little fake Loft House cookies.
You ate 8 of them for no fucking reason.
You didn't like them. You didn't even like them.
They were chalky, Ryan. Yeah.
And you know what? Cindy got the wrong ham. The ham you don't like.
The sandwiches are soggy. Cindy?
No one has eaten the sandwiches. They've thrown
the sandwiches
them
are
the
somehow
fish.
Soggy and dry. It's baffling.
Yep. So now there's fish following you, and they're about to laugh at you.
Yep. I have.
I've been sitting on this cookie sheet of a boat all day.
Yep.
Yes, the boat that you were in is frying you.
Yep. You've probably had somewhere between
They are
six...
shaped like a broiler pan, aren't they? Yeah, man. They're the top sheet of a
They're horrible.
Pan.
Even if you've been SPFing like hell.
We had my grandpa's funeral on a pontoon boat.
What?
You didn't know this?
Hell yeah, brother.
Server's updating as well right now.
Ryan, you're a lawyer. Can you file that for me?
Yeah, you got it, bud.
And Jason, Michael, go ahead and mark Holly ahead in the southern column.
She was already ahead.
We bow at your glory.
She wasn't in second place.
No, she's Max Verstappening this thing.
She just lapped us.
100 and no interest
in competing with anything involving a pontoon boat, dead or alive.
No. God damn.
If I tell you why, it actually gets worse. So I'm not going to.
Please
go on.
Come on.
Well, I got to.
No, it's poignant.
Okay, it's poignant. Oh, all right. Okay. So yeah.
No. In retirement. Well, first of all, the last thing he said in his time on Earth was turning to my cousin Anthony and saying that he would kill someone for a George Killian's, which was his fancy beer. And awesome. So we had decided that the youngins among us decided that the thing to do was going to be to go out to. The intercoastal to the manatee habitat, where in retirement he had taken up hanging out at the manatee habitat and yelling at boaters who got too close to the manatees, like just like volunteer park ranger.
Hell yeah.
Like a fucking waterbound Lorax. I love it.
So we were going to go out and like pour some beer down to the manatees.
Do you think that perhaps his spirit bonded with the spirit of the manatees?
I really hope so, because the manatees could use some cussedness.
That's how it works in Moana, I think.
Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm. Jason's Moana science is sound.
Thank you.
I majored in Moana sciences.
They're going to make manatee Moana. Make Florida Moana.
Also dropped a little foghorn leghorn down to the reef, and Aunt Mothman said we were being disrespectful, and then we got in a huge fight, and she didn't speak to me the whole way home.
Disrespectful to foghorn leghorn?
It's hard. Man, having an argument in a pontoon boat is ill-advised.
Having a funeral argument in a pontoon boat.
We've just seen recent evidence of that.
Yeah, you're right.
She was already mad because I had been referring to the urn seat-belted into the middle of the back seat as Grandpa the whole way down.
All right.
So I thought was being polite.
Yeah.
But so you've Spencer, had... You've got,
I didn't mean to derail this, but anyway. I can't believe I told that story.
Cranky pontoon boat full of Alabamians. What happens next?
And you've had somewhere between 6 and 38 beers.
Yes.
That's another thing we got to own up here, okay? Like, I don't care.
But they not, like not like heavy beers, because you're on a boat. You're not that stupid.
No, right. but you
yeah,
know,
they've had a lot of Bud Lights, I bet. That's probably the one they chose. Well, they should have chose Coors Light.
They should have.
Just because it's the coldest
If they'd
beer.
Consumed Coors Light, they would have come off that boat triumphantly.
So
watered, they would have filtered.
It's so blue, they would have retired from fighting, from getting
right. They would have come off and extended a Coors Light to the people that they were talking to. Mm-hmm. And then they would have become friends. We could have avoided all of this.
The heat of emotion cooled by the cold filtered Coors Light.
You know how much it sucks to sit in a pontoon boat? Well, Coors Light is so cold, a pontoon boat is fine.
You know where it's really cold? In your watery grave.
That's right.
All right, so once you've been on the pontoon boat all day against all better
combat
ideas,
readiness, if this were Fallout Montgomery,
you got one hit point, one hit
you
point. Have all sorts
you're
of status
off the
effects
boat with one hit
you're
point,
poisoned,
okay?
Confused, asleep.
Yeah. You've got corn syrup poisoning. Yeah. You're undoubtedly hungover,
paralyzed,
right? The sun has been beating
your
life, ass.
Can we make this salt life checklist on like a koozie or something?
This
Ryan?
Is salt.
Poisoned,
this is salt.
Confused.
Salt death.
Poisoned, confused, asleep, salt death.
You got Funyun poisoning.
So Ryan started saying it first, but I said it louder. So yeah.
That is full cast law. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Toxic levels of Dorito in your bloodstream.
Wait, is Funyun's poisoning an ingested or an inhaled poison?
I think it's ambient.
It's
I think
skin.
You got him on the book.
It's
like
skin
fentanyl.
Contact.
You touch it, it's just
it's like microplastics.
Yeah. But you come off the boat, and you immediately decide to beat the ass of the guy who's telling you to move
wait,
your boat.
Wait. Let's stop. First let's of all, stop. You got, let's stop.
Yeah.
There's a whole prequel here.
When
yeah.
you have been on a pontoon boat that long, what's the first thing you want to do?
Peace.
Sleep.
Get off the boat. You That's want right. to get off the boat. And that is where the friction begins, because this pontoon boat doesn't just stop. It stops in a place it's not supposed to. It parks in somebody else's parking
spot.
Yeah,
this spot. Is a commercial dock, first of all. This is not, this
is
not
is
just
the most Alabama shit
right.
I've ever
this is,
seen.
This is not. That's right. This is not some chill marina.
No.
This is a parking spot for what?
Where, which even
a
if
fucking and, river boat.
Which and even if this were like a public marina, you know, asking somebody to move your boat so that because there's only one space for a bigger boat is a totally normal thing to have.
There's
happen.
Like a mm-hmm. shitload.
This
of
wasn't
people.
Even that.
There's yes. a shitload of people yes. on the boat.
But these white people, blinded by pontoon madness, decide. That the answer
I've
is
got
not
pontoon fever.
The answer is not to move their boat so that the fucking riverboat can park, can dock.
The riverboat, who belongs to the hotel that owns the dock,
right?
Yeah.
It's instead.
It's the Marriott.
To take action into their own hands.
Oh my god. How much
in
fucking,
the game of Fallout?
Honestly, yeah.
To aim at nearest head, 10% likelihood of contact.
Yeah.
And you're just hitting X, right? Just yep.
Hey, and I'm gonna call something early here. I'm gonna say that they had not actually been out there that long, and that somebody got sick and had to be brought back.
I got a poop.
There's
Davey, turn it around. I got a poop.
No, there's no way that otherwise this man is going to have the kind of energy for
sure.
what followed.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's
like
a really good point.
Because otherwise his conditioning would be let's say visually unlikely.
Yeah. Here's the other thing we should bring up. Jason, you've played Street Fighter, I assume.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. Let's get into it.
I don't know why I thought that was funny.
You can... what are some of the stages from classic Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2 that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, there's one where you're fighting in front of an F-16, normal thing.
Yep.
There's a bonus round where you're punching a car.
Let's stop there.
Round where you're punching barrels.
Okay. Where are you punching the car?
You're on a dock, aren't
you? You're on a dock. Street Fighter, the canonical authority on fighting in the street... Even Street Fighter understands that if you're going to fight on a dock, it's not going to be with another person. It's going to be with an inanimate object. Fighting on a dock is a bad idea, even in the world of Street Fighter, where it's like, hey, go beat up this green monster now.
Go fight this guy whose last name is Bison.
Correct. So whereas Street Fighter is like, you should go fight in front of a giant statue of Buddha, instead, like, the dock fight is a bad plan.
It would be smarter to fight among elephants than to fight on a dock.
Yes, correct. Mm. Correct.
Go fight in fucking Las Vegas before you fight on a dock.
Yes. Yes. but instead we get the combination of pontoon madness and the decision to fight on a dock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the operator of the pontoon boat, having been asked by the operator of the giant fucking riverboat. Whose dock it is
to get out of his home.
Let's remember Tequila Derek let's go back to Tequila Derek for just a moment in the Maritime Disasters episode of what was that last year? The cops didn't want Tequila Derek, you'll recall, to get out of the water. They did not want Tequila Derek to stop swimming and drinking at the same time. All they wanted him to do was put on a life jacket so they wouldn't have to fish his lifeless corpse out of the water at work.
Or if they did, it would be easier.
They wouldn't have to fish him. You just pick him up by the back of the life jacket.
Right.
You don't even need a pool net for that, right? you just need a little hoisting.
We don't got to call the dive team if you die in a life jacket. No, no. Brother.
Yeah. Those guys are assholes.
And transfer that to here. You know, we're not asking you to leave. We're not asking you to stop having a good time. We just want to be able to use our own dock.
Yes. Yes.
And this man took offense.
So these Caucasian gentlemen from the boat begin.
And ladies.
There's a lady in there, too.
This is important. We should probably break this down.
Yeah, this is important.
It was absolutely an intergender tag team.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they begin trying to kick this dude's ass. And
this dude who is black. Who is not just some dude.
Who is at work.
He's an employee.
Yes, he's at work.
Yeah. Yes. He has some authority over.
Hotel.
He has some authority over boat can park here or not.
Yes. And is asking them, please move. And for that, they begin to assault him. There is something that I will remember for the rest of my goddamn life from this. I may forget every other detail.
We should each go around and name our favorite parts.
But
if I
ever see somebody just, like, if I am ever in some sort of verbal altercation with somebody and I see them grab their hat and throw it in the air.
Bobby Shmurda it also, as far Bobby as you Shmurda can. It,
which is I also a very you. Street Fighter thing to do. That's what M. Bison does when it's time to ask.
That's exactly what
M. Bison does.
The cape is gone, and you're getting psycho-tornadoed.
That's right. I'm hitting escape as soon as I can if I see that happen, because I know I just messed up. All right?
You know what else is really extraordinary about this moment to me? Is that the folding chair appears.
Oh, boy, we're jumping, but yeah.
The folding chair appears, and you're thinking, we have reached the apex of this event.
Of this fracas.
So because a folding chair has come out. No, we have not.
Well, the folding chair occurs like after, as some commentators pointed, the schmurdering of the hat was sort of a signal that this gentleman needs backup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it begins arriving via every conceivable angle, including, I think, the superstar of the entire event.
The swimmer?
The man who has been dubbed by Black Twitter, which, to be clear, is has owned this beat since the very beginning.
We're so far
demonstrated
behind.
Single-handedly saving the platform.
Yeah.
Honestly, right? Yes. It demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt, as if anyone ever had them, that they are the most valuable creators in all of social media, that they are the thing Blue Sky is missing, the thing Threads will never have, and the biggest reason to keep coming back to Twitter. This gentleman swimming
that's
toward
a child,
the dock
also.
Has
a
been
teen.
Dubbed by Twitter a variety of things, including Michael B. Phelps, Aquaman, just an endless list of names for this
scuba,
gentleman.
Scuba Gooding Jr.
Scuba Gooding Jr.
But this kid is my favorite part of it, because this is where you have not heeded the sign of the hat being thrown in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is swimming to kick your ass.
Yeah,
the bat signal went up, and you
like. There's no
it.
Ladder on that dock. This kid has to swim across. And first of all, this again, municipal dock. This is not good water. This is nasty water. This is not swimming water. This kid is stroking through it to hoist himself up onto the dock and start swinging on you. Get out!
You want to know how wrong you are? You're this wrong. Someone got wet and swam to come over and kick your ass. Have you ever been mad enough to swim to kick someone's ass?
Swimming alone is exhausting. If you're swimming for me, I'm like, damn, we must be bros. If you're swimming and fighting.
Like, additionally, too, the part that I love in the reaction to this was somebody rightfully pointing out and saying, well, you know, the guy got a folding chair out, which someone did at one point. And, you know, he hit someone on the head with it, and then he hit a lady on the head with it, you know, and like, yeah, I mean, yeah, good. He's going to jail, you know. I wish he'd known that beforehand. He knew that beforehand. You ever been in a fight?
Hold on.
Sonny.
Stop it.
Oh, wait. Can we do some podcast business while we're waiting for Spencer?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm very sorry for interrupting Spencer on a roll, but she was starting to tear things limb.
No, it's fine. Jason, do you want to sing the song, or do you want me to sing it?
Bum 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 bum. Podcast business.
All right. Before we get back to the events in Montgomery, we're gonna do a little bit of podcast business. Jason, do you want to go first or second? We got a lot of shit.
You have the most urgent and pressing stuff.
I got too much shit. All right, I have two things real quick. Number one, got a new college football newsletter doing with our pals at Homefield called Buried Treasure. By the time you listen to it, it should be out and available. You can go, I don't know, just Google Homefield Buried Treasure. You'll find it. You can sign up for it. Just finding weird and silly stories from college football history. The first edition is about how the NFL, the champion of the NFL... Mostly before the Super Bowl was the thing, would start the preseason for like 40 years playing a college football all-star team in Chicago, and just had to do that every year. And that was a thing that we just did. That was real. Second thing, with Michael Serber, started a new podcast, also sponsored by Homefield, called We're Not All Like This, where I interview representative fans of college football fan bases.
Wait. What do you mean a new college football podcast?
Sorry.
Whoa.
A new anthropology podcast. Yeah. That's right. Okay. A new anthropology podcast.
Thank you.
Where I interview fans of various college fan bases to try to understand why they are the way that they are. First episode is already up. It's about Auburn. And the next episode is going to be about Iowa. So we're really starting just...
The follow-up, the second season, it just starts with Florida State, and it's called Yes, We Are.
We're going to do just 9 episodes on Florida State at this point. But yeah, you can find that, I don't know, where podcasts are sold. They're not sold. That's not how this works. Jason, you got stuff.
I'm going to deliver you a URL, listener at home.
Sweet.
Shutdownfullbooks.com.
What?
You can go there to sign up for updates on the world's only book publisher. There's something coming. It means an incredible amount to me. It's not about college football. Those are the things that I'll tell you for the time being. Just sign up there, and you will be caught up perhaps somewhat soon.
Jason, I hear that Shutdown Full Books guarantees that there will be words on every page.
Without question. Not every page, but...
shit.
Guaranteed will, me.
No, that actually makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
There will be books between pages between chapters, but the total number of words will more than average out to account for those blank pages.
The blank pages are for you to write on, reader.
Shut
yeah,
down
color,
full
color,
books.
Color along at home.
Mostly full books.
Spencer and Holly, do you have any podcast business?
Fuck yeah, we do.
Absolutely. Gearing up with conference previews, etc. for the Channel 6 newsletter. We have published all but one. That would be the Mighty SEC preview, which will be coming out in the next, about a week. I think we're building to it. The every SEC game preview that we do every year.
Which means, yes, we're previewing every single SEC game, which is why we're taking a week off before we publish the SEC preview, because it takes a while. It's also like the most fun thing we do.
It is. That is correct. Really, so like we'll be doing that in the season
what
opener.
What's the first ahead. SEC game this year?
The first SEC game involving it's an Florida, SEC team will be Florida at Utah.
Florida, Utah.
Oh, that sucks.
It does. It does.
Are you scared to face a big 10 or whatever team?
Listen, by the hour, that could change.
We also have a... Well, we did a little historical riff today that should be in your inboxes already if you're a subscriber. If you subscribe today, you can go find it on our website. Taking the grand unifying theory of everything is college football and pushing it a little bit further, going, what if college football, though, is pro wrestling? Stacking up the current realignment movements against the modern history of pro wrestling. And if you were a fan during the WCW-WWE era, you probably know where this is all heading. Also, on a business note, we are currently 61 subscribers away. 61 total subscribers away. That's paid and free combined. No mom. We don't have 15,000 people paying $100 a year. That would be fantastic. Maybe someday. Maybe that's next year's goal. But we are 61 members away from having a cool 15,000 subscribers. We started this list from nothing. We took nothing with us when we left Vox. None of our original newsletter reports came with us. We built this from zero, and we built this with you guys. And I would love to start the season, whether you're coming in for free for $10 a month for $100 a year. I would love to start with a little shiny 15. At the start of that.
Y'all are, you're near the middle of the MAC in attendance at this point.
Yeah, let's get it, folks, let's get us up to Toledo. We're mean as the glass bowl, and we would like those numbers to reflect that.
Also, it looks like you're currently New Mexico, and New Mexico State's up next.
Also, Spencer lied.
I did. It's Hawaii at Vanderbilt.
I wanted to ease everyone's minds about that as well.
Thank you. I'm glad we're all on top of it.
Hawaii at Vanderbilt, 7:30 p.m.
Wait.
On the
SEC
Network.
So if we go, are you saying that we might actually have a chance to meet Timmy Chang? I kind of want to go to that game.
Are you going? You're not going to go to that game.
I love Timmy Chang. Are you kidding me? And it's Vanderbilt, so I might actually get to talk to him. I could just walk down.
It's true.
Is that stadium done? Are they going to play a game there?
They are going to play a game there.
No, and yes.
There was a goof tweet.
What do Hawaii and Vanderbilt have in common? Is the stadium done? No.
There was a goof tweet yesterday that suggested they were going to be playing at a local high school. That is not true, but the stadium is not done and will not be done for the first game. I don't know when it will be done. Right now,
they play it at the Titan Stadium so somebody could see a winning football team.
Nah, pass.
This is strays in all directions. Sorry.
Pass. All right, I think that's podcast business.
Lots of business, gang. Look at us.
Lots of business.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, we're right, playing so, backwards to let Satan take us back.
Children,
take off your drugs.
All right, so Spencer, you were talking about the folding chair.
Yeah, I was talking about the folding chair. And geniuses online were like, but he's going to go to jail. You think? You think? That's cutting analysis, bro. That somebody in the middle of a 30-person brawl who picks up a chair and hits somebody may not have thought, yeah, I'm going to jail. No, he thought about it. When you do that and the chair is in your hand and you go, 60 days in county or glory forever, You're going to go ahead and do it.
Or never buying a drink, you know, $250 fine of community service, or never buying a drink in this town again.
And immediately honored with, like, people have painted murals of this.
There was a shirt. Tattoo.
Someone was wearing a shirt printed out, like, 2 hours after the event. Like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these white people who had ganged up on this black dock employee.
These white thugs.
Then find themselves in a table's turn situation.
Just so many people flying at you. Oh,
it was
God.
Like,
everyone
it was like a getting the band back together thing in the Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw everyone lots popping of, up from their different occupations and just running.
I saw lots of in-game memes.
Lots of in-game memes. Yeah. Everyone showing up for the party. I only have one disappointment in the number of people flying off that riverboat to come get into the fight, and it's this. I did not see anybody dressed up in full riverboat gambler gear. I saw nobody getting off dressed with a
big old top hat. It's August.
Somebody like, I was engaged in a game of Pharaoh, and then I saw there was a hullabaloo outside, so I decided to engage these rapscallions with this here folding chair.
There's quite a to-do down.
Not a cigar.
There's quite a to-do down on the jetty.
Chips flying out of his pocket.
Like Sonic rings.
Yeah. No one came off that thing dressed like Maverick, right?
Maverick!
Yeah, no one was dressed like Dumb and Dumber when they show up in prom tuxes.
I was discussing cotton futures with my friend here, and then, all of a sudden, I had to engage myself in martial combat.
I think one... I want to be careful here.
Yes.
I think one of the most racially telling things about this fight is that some of the white people involved thought that they could do the following. Engage in violence, and then turn their backs and walk away, and therefore be removed from the violence, no longer be attacked in return. They thought that...
Not used to experiencing consequences for their actions.
They thought that the rules of engagement were, if I'm not facing you, you can't hit me, even though I just hit you. And
like
that was...
Mario.
That is Peekaboo protocol.
And that was a grave miscalculation on several parties' parts.
Yeah. That notion of you're in here with me really escaped.
And the number of white people who run in and take sides in with like high school cafeteria logic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm white. I'm with them. Like, you don't care who started it or you don't care about any of that shit.
Right, right. Holly wanted to talk about favorite parts. My favorite part, very
briefly.
Mine
is the swimmer.
When the gentleman with the folding chair is being corralled by police. Because there are police involved in a lot of this video who, for surprising stretches of it, are mostly just watching.
It's hot.
It is hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
Right? And there's a lot of people.
Into boxing referees.
There is kind of a hockey ref element to it where it's like, I'm going to let this go with some limits.
Yeah.
So, folding chair guy is down on the ground getting cuffed by the police. And
he should just roll into the water.
Some white lady decides
like,
this
cop,
is the time. While he's being cuffed, some white lady comes up to the cop cuffing him and like starts trying to register a complaint. And the cop is so clearly like, what the fuck are
Not
you
Not now,
thinking?
Eleanor.
What the fuck are you thinking? And I was just, it's amazing to see that kind of like, Uber Karen brain at work that is like, no, even in this moment, my voice must be heard.
Also,
my discomfort must be registered.
That is the most well-conditioned main character energy gland.
Yes.
What on earth is she saying? Is she walking up to the cop and going, hey,
I locked my keys in the...
That guy
hey, I saw a fight.
Yeah, that guy hit someone.
Officer Frankus.
That's again like somebody being like, yeah, well, that guy who hit someone with the chair is going to jail. He doesn't give a fuck.
I heard several swears.
Yeah.
That man damaged furniture.
There was property
that wasn't his,
damage.
Just
here.
So you know, that wasn't his chair. That did not belong to him.
That belongs in
that
the fellowship
hall. That chair was my meemaw's.
Yeah.
She wanted to be buried.
She's got sciatica. Now she's in dreadful pain.
And there's she's got to stand all day.
There's a moment where a guy gets rock bottomed, I believe, by Scuba Gooding Jr.
Who has the energy
Who
again
has the mitochondrial
after jumping off the boat swimming.
Fortitude.
Yeah, hoisting himself onto the dock without a ladder.
He's a teen. Like, it's a testament to how awesome it is to be a teen.
Yeah.
You just have that energy.
Like, I'm jumping off that boat, and I'm just like, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm just going to float.
It's and not just a rock bottom, not just a straightforward rock bottom, but a Solo Sikoa modified, like, whirling rock bottom.
Yeah.
With panache.
No, like, that kid wrestles. That's a complete, like...
He does now.
I'm
Triple H, sign up this young man.
Hey,
and I know I'm not trying to make light of, well, we're spending the whole day making light of it, but while I'm sure this must have all been very stressful in the moment, imagine the moment in that kid's brain when it clicks for you that you're about to get to do this in real life. Yes. What a treat. Like, what an absolute treat.
Yes. That is. Like, a teenage boy brain is very much like what I wouldn't give to do a wrestling move for
real. It's like you think about this. You're a Mario Kart head, right? And you've just gotten your license, and you're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden in front of you is one of those car-carrying trailers with the back tilted down, and you're like, I can do it.
Yeah,
I haven't mentioned this on here in like a decade, but the last fight I ever got into, I was, I don't know how many years old, 19 or 20 or whatever. This big ass dude at work came running at me, charging at me.
Was that Publix?
It was the back room at Publix. So I fell back on my many years of training by watching wrestling, and I just like moved to the side, hooked his head, and dropped all of his momentum to DDT big-ass Michael Velarde onto his forehead, his flat-top forehead, and then I went back to work. I had won the fight with the greatest of ease because I watched wrestling. I can attest to get to use wrestling move in real life.
Where stomping is
a
pleasure.
Man.
I think if there is a silver lining for our pontoon dipshits... It's that the next time Carl is like, we should take the boat out this weekend, they're going to be like, you started a race riot last time. We're not going out on the boat.
Oh. I don't think those people are so much upset that they've started a race riot as upset that they lost. But yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, probably.
You also, there was this shout out to Blue Shirt. Blue Shirt is in the video, and Blue Shirt has hands for days. Blue Shirt's an absolute menace. Like, everyone else is bar fighting. Like, they're throwing. Blue Hands, technique, selection, follow through, good balance, great posture. Like, just an awareness, a field awareness of everything happening around at all times. Absolutely fantastic, sir. Amazing. P.S. Fighting's bad. Boo. Don't fight.
Yeah, we don't condone violence. Now let's talk about football.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now on to football.
All right. I got 10 minutes before I got to go. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
So,
what time have we missed any realignment in the past hour and a half?
Probably.
I don't think. The I most, actually
the
don't
most
think
recent
we
bit
have.
Is the most recent bit is Cal Stanford to the ACC.
Cal, I think that's the ACC looking into Cal Stanford.
Which
as of this recording,
was it Mark Ennis who was talking this morning? If it wasn't Mark, I apologize, about like what is there left to consider?
Right. I
and
think
if you're,
you know
if
where
you're
they
these
are
conferences,
already.
Have you not been looking at every Power 5 school since these shufflings began?
ACC. It takes a lot for like college football to truly jump the shark. It takes a lot for something in college football to actually merit hyperbole. Like, it takes a lot to be a superlative in college football. So many things have happened. So many dumb ideas. So many bad ideas. This is the dumbest realignment idea ever. I am saying that as a person who takes things literally and would probably go find a spreadsheet with a list of all the realignment moves so then I could say, oh, no, this one was worse. No, this is the dumbest fucking idea that has ever been considered in the history of college football. Like, not only are you would you be stretching from Louisville to California.
Atlantic.
You would be adding Cal. I don't know if they even have, like, grass in their stadium. Well, they have
they
weed.
They got debt. That's for damn
like,
sure.
They're not good at sports.
Oh my God, Wake Forest is this is a Wake Forest private equity scheme.
So here's what I think could actually be up for evaluation. I suspect some ACC presidents, commissioner, whoever, is like, look, if we're going to do this stupid idea, Florida State, you cannot turn around and fuck us immediately. If you go along with this so that we sign up to start going to the fucking Bay Area, and then you bail on us, we're going to be real fucking pissed.
Have you ever tried to fly into either of these schools, by the way? There's a choice of like three airports, and they're all equidistant and terrible traffic from the schools.
Yeah.
There's no good way to get to these schools in major metropolitan areas. It is the most miserable fucking journey.
All right. Well, Jason, this has not been reported, and I'm not saying it's true.
Okay,
I am.
So breaking news from
breaking
Ryan
news
Nady.
From Ryan
if you heard instead the ACC was looking at Oregon State and Washington State, how would you feel
that
about
that? Fucking
it?
Rocks. I love okay. it. We got to find a home for the Cougs and the Beavs by any means necessary. I do love the idea if the ACC were to say, Florida State, just get the fuck out of here. I don't give a shit. You want to take Clemson? Fine, you're gone. Then the ACC, Big 12, and the Pac-4 merge, and we have a tidy 32 across the country.
Sure.
It's like if the Big 10 made sense, basically, it would be the same. You know, it would be the map, but actually filled in. I'm all for it. That's great. Let's do that. I mean, I think that's the best for everyone. No, like, there are no adults in charge, so it's not going to happen, but that's obviously the best idea for everyone.
Did you see what Arizona State's president said about the new setup? About West Virginia?
Yeah, no, so athletic director Ray Anderson.
Oh, the athletic director. I'm sorry.
Who hired?
Oh, the guy who hired Herm Edwards.
The guy who hired Herm Edwards, who was formerly Herm Edwards' agent.
Agent?
Yeah.
What did who's President Herm Edwards'
he's,
agent
he's,
say?
He's too fucking classy for West Virginia. Mind you, he's from Iowa State.
Yeah. I didn't take it as too classy. I interpreted that as like, I'm not going all that fucking way.
Oh, I'll but my, unpaid athletes will.
Yes.
My fucking swim team will. Mm-hmm. My esports team certainly will.
It's like you've been at the Big 12 for like 4 days and you're immediately like, oh, this sucks. I'm not going to do all that. You guys have fun, though.
I don't know what asshole would fly all the way across the country just for sports.
Ray Anderson, 3 minutes into the cruise. We got to stay on the boat? Yeah.
Well, I think I'm feeling sick.
Yeah. So it goes on water? Yeah, right. I got to call Herm and talk to him about this. Herm's like, really?
Herm's on the boat just scarfing shrimp.
Herm's a pretty good cruise hang. He's a pretty nice guy.
So,
Herm's.
Yeah, I mean, since we last recorded, what, five schools left the Pac-12?
Since we last discussed what how things were falling apart. It was over the weekend that two more left for the big.
What are they changing the name?
They're not. They're not.
Like, at this point, I guess 10 is just in their head means like a perfect 10.
Mm-hmm.
Just huge dorks.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah. This is why we're just going to get. This is why we're just going to merge.
Not
up.
Even that good at gymnastics.
Yeah. Independent Cal is what I want. Independent Cal.
Oh, shit.
Cal.
Never mind. They have UCLA now. They're fine.
Oh, God. Independent Cal.
Michigan, I know. Hush.
It's like Independent Cal would be able to afford just nothing, just literally nothing.
They just drive back and forth to Stanford.
Even,
just drive it back and forth to Stanford
helmets.
To play.
They don't have the gas to
drive
back
to Stanford.
That's why we're on a bike.
It's like New Mexico State. You want to come here? Because
you know what?
Man, Cal got a broadcast deal with the demo TVs at Costco. That's the only place you can watch Cal football.
You can watch Cal football at the little gas station screen.
You got to get on a JetBlue flight to watch a Cal football game. It's crazy.
Well, that's mean. Amid all the other things that suck about this, Cal and Stanford are both excellent places to watch games. I have such a good time every time I'm at both of these schools, and I really hate this.
It's the thing I think is very amusing in a fucked up way. I think everybody assumes that the program that you move, like the state of the program when they move, is going to be the state of the program forever, or they will get better because now there's all this money that they have access to. Mm. And I think, like, there are maybe two examples in realignment that show that that's true, and there are many, many more that show that it's not.
I mean, like... I think it's like, okay, TCU went to, you know, they were like a top four team. Like, they already fucking were.
They were the fucking Rose Bowl.
Before.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know, Utah. They're
Utah
like,
was an undefeated team.
Utah had been better before they joined the
Pac-12.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, it is not that long ago that Washington was a winless football team. And even if you don't want to go that far back, that Washington was like a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 team. Oregon State was really good last year and might be really good this year. Cal has had some awesome seasons. They're not recent, but they have had them. Stanford had, like, what, three Heisman runners up in a row or some shit, or in 4 years or something? Mm-hmm. Like, it's... To the extent that it is all football-based, and it is all football-based if you see what literally any non-revenue athlete has to say about this.
Football money-based.
Yes. It's just like, I don't know. I find it fascinating because football, college football in particular, like, yes, Ohio State's always going to be good. But, like, there's so much movement that it's just sort of like, what? Why does anybody have the confidence now to be like, yes, these will be the moves that we are happy we made in 10 years?
And if you're basing everything on like who this program has been for the past 3 to 5 years, there's so much fucking variance when you play 12 games a year. This isn't baseball where you get to fill the spreadsheet and we have, and you know, we know down to the decimal exactly how good every team is. One punt changes whether your coach gets fired or not. Mm-hmm. Like,
thank
you
God
can't
for
base
that.
This shit on to be clear, that's sometimes quite hilarious. But like the thing that keeps jumping out for me is there's this idea that we're from certain kinds of sensitive Big Ten fans, and I don't mean fans of Big Ten teams, right? Like we love Michigan fans, Iowa fans, even Ohio State fans, you know. Mm-hmm. Like it's not about fans of teams, it's about fans of conferences. It's the weirdest thing in the world. This idea that like we're supposed to criticize the SEC and the Big Ten equally because they both added teams. Look at the SEC's map right now. South Carolina to East Texas is tiny by current standards. It's like a third of the Big Ten.
Quaint.
Everything touches everything. Like adding A&M, they're like 300 miles from LSU. So, adding UCLA, they are 1,300 miles from Nebraska. It's not the same. It's not the same.
So the big twist here, which is where kind of wrote about this day, that I think you'll just end up with two big mega conferences and ultimately they'll merge because corporations are lazy, right? Interests are lazy. They'll just be like, make them one. It's good. It's big. You can sell it all. Like that's
I love big.
Business. We love big. Everybody loves big. Consumers benefit from one big omni corp that doesn't give a fucking shit whether you live or die. But like right now, the like two business models that are on the road.
Amazon bought blood. The concept of blood. That's crazy. Yeah.
My blood.
All blood.
Blood.
The blood I have.
You get NIL money, and in exchange, we get an AI computer to go ahead and make your name, image, and likeness sell products without your knowledge. Then you just take the checks. Those two business models. Like, the SEC's at least still pays some lip service to the notion that this would be a regional concern with important rivalries, right? And the Big Ten is just going spreadsheet, and that's probably why they'll win, because I no longer have hope that people would go, oh, man, well, there's real value in this, right? Like, there's some sentimental that creates value. People will value this. No, they won't. They that's not who you're dealing with. You're dealing with large corporations. They'll be like, well, that spreadsheet looks real hot. A lot of people on it.
I want to push back on, like, the SEC still cares about regionality. I think the SEC is just fucking snobby. And they're like, USC fucking sucks. We don't want, like, even if we could have had them, we don't fucking want them.
I don't think it's snobby. I think it's lazy.
One half dozen the other.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit of
like, honestly, yes. They're so, like if you look at everything the SEC does.
They're lizards
does,
on hot rocks.
We get all
it's
of
too
these,
far to move and oh, we're very sleepy.
I'm going to get like, on my God. I'm going to get on my God for here for a second.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm definitely getting on.
Which
okay,
is
no, but I think if the SEC had an opportunity to buy the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would have done that shit.
Right, let Spencer make good on this incredible threat here.
The incredible threat of this. You see all of these journalists in our industry.
In this industry.
In this industry.
Okay. In this business.
Put your mic closer to your mouth and breathe a little.
In the business.
Echo.
You get a lot of them who, you know, write profiles of commissioners and people who work in this industry, and they say, like, oh man, what geniuses.
Now name names, then apologize to that person, then say something way worse.
Yes. But like the SEC. They do the thing that costs the least and that takes the least effort. They really do. Like, their headquarters is in Birmingham and they rent it for like a dollar.
No, literally a dollar.
Like, literally a dollar. It took them so long to recognize that SEC Media Days was a media property that they just kept it in Birmingham because, again,
Hoover,
they could have it out in Hoover at the mall for like a dollar.
That's the best location. It's the best place.
You think it was the best location?
That was hands down better than Atlanta or Nashville.
It really was close. It was hilarious, but it was also fine.
It just worked, and it also works better. It's just better.
Before they redid the Winfrey, it was better. Now that they're trying to make the Winfrey a hotel and not like your granny's weird bedroom.
Yeah. But like they'll always do the thing that's like what's the well we need somebody next door. I guess go get Oklahoma and Texas.
We're not really going Godfrey here. I don't feel like you're living up to this.
No, I don't have
I'm not embarrassed
spite in my heart for this.
Yet.
But point being, don't think they're geniuses. No, a lot of times they're just lazy and doing the easiest thing possible.
Ask like for if Godfrey and I got Pepsi. Look at this shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I also don't ascribe any virtue whatsoever to the SEC. Like, I know they're not doing
because, to be clear, none.
They value regionality and rivalry.
Right.
Like,
no, like,
I
literally
I know they're doing
it.
This. Yeah, right. They're only doing this because they think it makes them the most money. And it works out fine for me because their conference makes sense. So like, yeah, it's you know, I know the SEC is full of shit. Are they full of shit to the degree the Big Ten is? No, nothing is. Like, that's the difference for me.
In conclusion, Sun Belt forever.
The fucking Mac abides, brother.